In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 30, December 6th, 1931. And Jesus says something that's, he says often throughout the scriptures, the book of heaven. Sorry about that. This is not sacred scripture. Okay. It's the writings, that were dictated to the words that were dictated to Louisa by Jesus himself. And he says, this is different than most books. He says, with this book of heaven, he says, this will change the face of the earth. And that's what our God is asking us to begin to understand, is this is not like anything else. And as you read, as you study this, you'll begin to understand this is an astonishing gift that our God is giving to humanity to change the face of the earth. So he says, you must know. And there is, you know, on the internet, if you go to louisapicaretta.me, there is a book, You Must Know, and it's every time that Jesus speaks to Louisa, he says, Louisa, you have to live in the divine will, you must know this. And there's another book that says, Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, do you know? And then he would say something. Do you want to know? And he says something. And when you read these two books, when you read the You Must Know book and Do You Know? Book, what you discover is this mystery that God is revealing to the world. And it's not a new revelation. That ended with the apostles. This is, again, the life that Adam had before the fall. It is the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which they gave to Louisa. So he says, Louisa, you must know this, that our divine will is all eyes. Now that's from the book of Revelation. All eyes inside and out. He says this to Louisa often. Our divine will is all eyes over the happy soul who wants to live in the divine will. So Jesus says this gift is for all of humanity. But in reality, he says it is for those who want this gift. And he says, as the soul does her acts, it gives the soul its bath of divine light. So this washing, this cleaning is happening with this divine light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, you are the light of the world. So he's asking us to be bathed in this light, to be washed in this light. So as we read, he's perfecting us. He's perfecting the world. You know, Jesus as the word, when he speaks, he says, every word that I speak is a divine life, a divine light, a divine love that's given to all the world. And he says, as we begin to live this light, this love, this life of God, the world is changing. When we saw that the abortion abortion of 1973 reversed. How did this happen? It's happening because of the soul's reading the divine will. This is how powerful it is. When you learn how to pray in the divine will, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that's praying in our praying. It's Jesus breathing in our breathing. It's Jesus beating in our heart beating. He, you know, even our senses, he says, Jesus says to Louisa in volume 36 that the senses were made for God. So God wants to, God wants to gaze in our gazing, to breathe in our breathing, to beat in our heart beating, to dance in our dancing, to sing in our singing. He wants not just that we have a personal relationship with Jesus, but he wants to intimately live one with us, fused with us. So as Jesus tells Louisa, you must know this, he says, As you enter into this divine will, it is the reason this divine will is happening is because of Jesus, not because of us. So it's Jesus that's praying under praying. So when you learn that command prayer that Jesus taught Louisa, what happens at that point is you know this prayer is going to happen. Why? Because as we learn to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, time is again, doesn't time and space doesn't exist in eternity. We are trapped now in time and space. But when we enter into this gift, one with Jesus, and again, no one possesses it fully. We're just at the beginning of this, that we are confident that whether we see it or not, the prayer that we pray, you know, in the divine will, which is wanting what the will of God wants, we know it's going to occur. So he says very clearly, those who want to live in the divine will, as she does her acts, when you start with your prevening act in the morning, then your actual acts throughout the day, you know, why are you taking a walk? I want to, Jesus, I want you to walk in my walking. I want to do this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, future. Any person who ever walked, I want everything to be replaced. Not, so it's not done in a human way, by doing the will of God. This is what the saints have done, but to do it in a way that you walked, that our mother walked, the new Adam and the new Eve. So what happens is all the walking of all humanity as we are walking is God is looking at as if they, all of humanity from Adam to the last person, were doing this in the divine will, living in the divine will as God originally wanted it. So what's happening is everything's being repaired. Everything's being renewed with this great gift of the divine will. Jesus says, basically, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. Now, we love our families. We love our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. We can't save them. We can help them. But Jesus says, I will do it as God, as Lord, as Savior, as Master, as King. You do what I want, Jesus says, and I'll do what you want. So with total trust, and then this is why the final devotion that Jesus says, I give to my church, he said this to St. Faustina, before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my all, and I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. This love that Jesus is asking us to enter into, him, the Lord God Almighty, loving in our loving, beating in our heart beating, dancing in our dancing, singing in our singing, is changing the face of the earth. The whole face of the earth is recognizing that what God originally gave to Adam is happening again. Now, the one who lived in the divine world was Adam before the fall, and then he lost it. And then Jesus and Mary come to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve, living in the divine will, and then they left. 2,000 years later, finally, a newborn, Jesus says, a firstborn, Louisa Picaretta, starts living in the divine will, one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus says, you must know this, that our divine will is all eyes. We're waiting, we're longing to see a soul and all humanity beginning to live in the divine will. All eyes over the happy soul, Louisa. Louisa, who wants to live in the divine will, live of the divine will. And as she does her acts, it gives birth, this birth of divine, this bath of divine light, life. It's light and life and love. She's being washed clean of the fallen nature. Now, Louisa was born of original sin. Jesus, Son of God, didn't have original sin. Mary, the mother of God, Theotokos, wasn't born. She said that she is the Immaculate Conception, as she said to Saint Bernadette. Now we have a newborn, okay? And Jesus says, now I can begin to give back to humanity what Adam lost. And not only what Adam lost, but what the new Adam, Jesus, possesses, and the new Eve, Mary, possesses. So he says, this bath refreshes the soul and makes the soul feel the divine coolings. Since the light, he says, as it forms by its own nature, produces fecundity. This is divine fecundity, divine sweetness, divine flavors, divine colors within its veil of light. So while in appearance it seems only light, inside, you know, Jesus is showing, you know, he's revealing to us that inside this light, it hides so many beautiful divine riches and innumerable divine qualities, such that no other element can be said to be similar to it. So when we look at the lives of the saints, the lives of the saints, they were good, holy, and saintly. In the divine will, this is doing the will of God. In the will of God, living in the will of God, it's Jesus that's doing it. It's Jesus by its own nature produces divine fecundity, divine sweetnesses, divine flavors, divine colors within this veil of light. This, like for example, when Our Lady appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim, Our Lady of America, she appeared to her as Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling, and she was veiled. Why? This veil is going to be ripped open. This veil is going to be shown to the world. Right now, it's like a bride going up to get married. The veil is lifted at the moment of the beginning of the wedding ceremony, where the husband and wife become one in the sight of God. The veil is lifted. So, like Jesus says, this veil of light. And so while in appearance it seems only light, it hides what's hidden that's going to be revealed through this veil of light once it's lifted. In appearance only light, but it's divine riches, divine qualities. And this is what Adam possessed. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So when we read about Louisa, and I've heard people say, I've got my own saint. I don't need another saint. Thank you very much. I'm very satisfied with my saint. And Jesus, because Louisa was called Louisa La Santa in her life when she was alive. The process of the investigation was sent to the Vatican, Archbishop Piccheri said, we believe that she should be canonized. He didn't say beatified. When you study Louisa, you begin to understand this is more than what's going to be said about the saints, what was said about the saints at their canonizations. I remember being at the canonization at St. Honorable de Francia, and John Paul II quoted St. Honorable by saying, we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This new and divine way, this holiness that's coming, is what God planned from the beginning. And why did he say this with Father Inibile at his canonization? Because St. Honorable focused on volume 1 through 19 of Louisa. He not only understood how to live as a saint, volume 1 through volume 10, the divine mirror of Jesus, but he also, volume 11 through volume 19, learned how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what he said as a saint, John Paul II echoed. He echoed his words. And what's really interesting about what St. Honorable de Francia said was this new and divine way of holiness, because his whole focus was Louisa Picaretta. In the end of his life, he basically said, I want my community to publish these writings. I want my community to focus on this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. And it was so overwhelming that the community really went into shock. You know, what about us? The community said, what about us? Why is it that, you know, you're talking about Louisa and the divine will when your community, you're the Rogationists, the little daughters of divine zeal, you're letting that go and embracing this new and divine way of holiness. What is going on? And it was really, because it was his job, it was St. Annibal de Francia's job to publish these writings. And he did 1 through 19. And, you know, I saw those writings when I was there. I saw the writings that Father Bede wrote that to produce in Germany. And when you think about it, these writings were in Germany in 1930, basically. What happened in 1934? The books were burnt. This fire, I could just see the reason for the burning of the books in Germany was the evil one did not want the Germans to have these writings. It did not want this understanding of this new and divine way of holiness. So when I look at the burning of the books, I think immediately of the books that were in Germany in 1930. Everyone was on fire with Luisa. You know, even we mentioned before, Archbishop Corrada as a seminarian. The seminarians were studying Luisa Picaretta. And as a seminarian, he was studying this. So when he became the Archbishop of Trani, he knew this is going to change the world. I mean, I remember him giving a talk at the opening, at the end of the opening of the cause of Luisa. And he just says, you're going to be changed. When you read these writings, you can be changed. So what Jesus is saying, it produces fecundity, sweetness, flavors, colors within this veil of light. This innumerable divine qualities such that no other element can be said to be similar to the divine will. Even more, it is from the light, this light that they implore, this fecundity and good that each element must do in order, in the order in which it was placed by God. So when you pray the rounds, you begin to see the love of God in all of creation. When you pray the rounds of creation and you thank God, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, one with Adam, what happens at that point is everything is giving glory to God. Jesus says, Adam was to be the voice of all creation. I didn't put a voice on everything. That's why even in sacred scripture, Jesus says, if these rocks could cry out, if these rocks could speak, you know, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, that response to God, he says, I want humans to be the voice of all creation. So this is why he says, from the light, they implore this fecundity, this giving of life and the good that each element, every animal, vegetable, and mineral, with the human, with every thought, word, and deed, it's an explosion of divine I love yous to the throne of God that each human can give to God. It's magnifying God. When Our Lady says, my soul magnifies the Lord, because she was living in the divine will, this life that Our Lady possesses, this true life of Our Lady, this true life of Jesus, is ours in the divine will. And we're slowly learning this, slowly, little by little, step by step. So each day when we read, and that's why I love the calendar, you could go through all 36 volumes in 1 year. As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, the world is changing. The world has to change. Because Jesus says the kingdom is here. 2,000 years ago, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, because of Luisa, we can really begin to live heaven on earth. What's heaven? Peace, joy, and happiness. What's earth? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. So Jesus is saying, I want to free you of this. When you enter into this light, into this life, into this love of God, found in the book of heaven. So Jesus says this light can be called the soul of created things. So, you know, just recently, the scientists have said at the moment of conception, there is a spark of light. This flame of love begins in each human being, at creation, at conception. I almost said the word. At conception, the spark of light is ignited. It begins. The soul is there. Now, that's what it says to me, because when you read sacred scripture, the angel said to Mary, you'll be the mother of God. And she said, let it be done to me as you say. The incarnation took place. Then the angel said, your cousin, Elizabeth, is with child. And she's 6 months along. Or 3 months along. Go to her and help her. So immediately she took that 3-day journey with Joseph back to Jerusalem, because where Elizabeth was right outside of Jerusalem, because her husband was the high priest. So that baby would have been another high priest of Israel. John the Baptist would have been another high priest. And when she goes back to Elizabeth's house, as soon as Elizabeth sees her, her baby leaped to the womb. Why? Because at that moment of her fiat, the incarnation took place. That 3-day-old baby was alive in Our Lady. And John the Baptist recognized it. And the baby leaped in her womb. Why? Because why would the mother of my Lord come to me? So when you think about it, it's at the moment of conception. I mean, that's scriptural. And the spark of light that the scientists have said happened at the moment the baby is conceived. This is what's happening. So this light can be called the soul of created things, of when Jesus said, fiat lux, let there be light. The universe was created. And Jesus says, I want you to know this. You must know this, that everything in creation, this light that fiat lux is the soul of created things. It's the symbol of our uncreated light, of our divine fiat, that animates everything and everyone, past, present, and future. So with its bath of divine light, as the soul is about to do her acts in the divine will, the soul feels herself being sweetened, embalmed, fortified, purified, invested by the beautiful rainbow of the divine colors. There's 7 colors in the rainbow. You know, there's other people that are using the rainbow with only 6 colors, you know, 1 short of perfection, which is imperfection. So when we see this beautiful rainbow, never be afraid of the rainbow. But it's 7 colors. It's not 6. This rainbow of divine color is, Jesus says, my children are going to be children of the rainbow. This light, what is the rainbow? It's the promise that the flood will never happen again. It's the promise that the world will never be destroyed again. Now, the world's going to be consumed in fire. But what does that mean? The fire is this love of God, of Jesus and Mary, coming upon the earth, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consumed in love. What does that mean? Transformed into love. So this beautiful rainbow of the divine colors is given to the soul, that renders the soul so graceful, so striking, so beautiful, that God himself feels enraptured by the beauty, this beauty that is so rare. This light, this love, this life of God that God wants to breathe into us now, because of what he gave to Louisa. We're ready now, Jesus basically says, for this light. We're ready now to re-enter into the new and divine way of holiness, which is not new at all. It's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary. It's the life that Adam had before the fall. Image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we're in God's image. This is why it's important to be a faithful Catholic, so that we enter into the image of God. And now with this gift of the divine will, it's the likeness of God. This is what God wants now to give to humanity. Everything's going to change. And it's changing. If you really look at the world, look at Italy and Germany and France, England, you look at the world, Canada, the United States, when you look at the world, Russia, China, everything is happening. Everything is happening. Is this doom and gloom? Not at all. God is putting everything in order for what he has planned. God is in charge. And the evil one will use his evil ways to try to destroy. But remember what Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail. What does that mean? That means it's a war. It's a battle. It's a battle inside the church, outside the church. It's a battle of every nation. It's a battle of the evil one saying, I want to defeat God. How foolish. Michael, who is like unto God? I mean, when we really look at what is happening, God is winning. It might look bleak at this point, but God is going to win. Prevail. It won't, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. This war that we're in, the devil's not going to prevail. He's not going to win. Yes, there's a battle going on. There's a battle over our souls, each and every one of us. And each and every one of us, is slowly by being aware, by being attentive, slowly is turning to God. And we wish it would happen quicker. But again, the human will is very stubborn. The human will is self-centered, selfish. It only thinks of itself, self-love. What Jesus is teaching us, okay, is how to live in our nothingness, okay? So when we live in our nothingness, I am nothing, God is everything. Our focus is God. Our love is God. Our heart is in God, in God's hand. Our heart becomes, Jesus says to Louisa, your heart must become my throne, okay? Where the Lord is king, you know? When that begins to happen, things change. A good friend of mine who was in a lot of trouble, just say spiritually. God helped him move from his situation to a new location, and he is beginning to see the love of God all around him. From a hard, difficult situation to a peaceful situation. And he had to go through trauma. He had to go through a lot to wake up. But when I talked to him, his main thing that he said was prayer is important to him. It was never important to him before. He would laugh at me when we would talk. Hey, you're what are you doing? You know, it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. No, it's up to God. And the more we surrender to God, and he's finally living a life that he's happy. And it's just the beginning of where God is leading him. He had his parents, his grandparents praying for him. And this is why our prayer in the divine will is very powerful. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on letting Jesus pray in your praying. Every morning when you do your prevening act, in the name of everyone and everything, not only your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, but every human, we want to pray in the name of everyone and everything to give you, Lord God, the love, the praise, the glory that each human being should have given you if Adam never sinned. And that's what Jesus says. He says to Louisa, when the face of the new earth is renewed, okay, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle us the fire of your love, divine will, send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through what? Through the humans who have surrendered to you. As we pray, it's Jesus praying. As we enter into this gift, he says, it's like a stone thrown into a pond. The pond is affected by the ripples that go through it. It's the same thing with sin. With sin, the evil one wants these ripples of evil to affect everyone and everything. Jesus has won. He's on his throne. He's crowned. He's with his mother, the queen of heaven and earth. Everything is set. He has redeemed us. Now, Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. It's, he says to Louisa, he says, do you know that humanity wants to destroy the church, destroy all of humanity? You know, do you understand what's happening right now? This was back 100 years ago. He said, let them do what they want. He says, you and I, Louisa, will bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Aren't you happy? And it's true. What God is doing is he's showing us this is the beauty of Louisa. She's nothing. She's little. She's insignificant. She's hidden. And this is nothing. She is nothing. He says, Louisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, but this blade of grass will help change the face of the earth. See, God doesn't need powerful. He doesn't need powerful humans. He needs the little, the insignificant, the hidden. And that's what he's taught us. That's what, again, what Father Bucci taught us. Father Bucci taught us to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. And if you can do this one with Louisa, he says, the face of the earth will change. God's waiting for the souls who must live in his divine will. And hopefully that's us. To must live in the divine will is to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus Mary through Louisa. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. And out of all of humanity, he didn't choose St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't choose St. Francis of Assisi. He didn't choose St. Teresa of Avila to possess this gift. He waited for this time. He says, now is the time that everything's going to change. Now is the time that sanctification is going to come to the earth. So if you hear things, see things that are coming, as Jesus says, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will go against nation. He says, but it's not done yet. This is where we are. Why isn't it done? Because the kingdom is coming. See, all this is to prepare for the new era. All this is to prepare for the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. So Jesus has asked us to be alive today to be given the book of heaven. We have the book of heaven. And as we read the book of heaven, everything is changing. He says, you must know this. Well, what's he saying? He says, with being bathed in this divine light, this divine life, this divine love of God. And as the soul begins to do her acts in the morning, her prevening act, and then her actual acts throughout the day, which are natural, beating, our heart beating, breathing, walking, cleaning, talking, cooking, eating, as we do our natural acts in the divine will, Jesus says, the soul feels herself being sweetened from heaven. No more bitterness, balmed, soothed with the wounds that we have gone through, fortified, becoming stronger and more confident in God, purified. All the evil is being washed away from us like water on the duck off a back, water off the back, the duck's back. That was tough to say. This invested with the beautiful rainbow of divine colors. The rainbow, he says, my children are going to be the beautiful rainbow on earth. He says, rendering the soul so graceful, so striking, so beautiful that God is enraptured by this beauty, by this grace. Why? It's a reflection of him. Because it is a beauty that is so rare in humanity at this point. But one day, every human will possess this gift. When the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one's going to be gone. The kingdom's going to be here. So Jesus is teaching Louisa how to live in the kingdom now before it happens. He said, I rose from the dead, he says to Louisa, so that my children can rise from the death of misery, the death of sin. the death of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. I want my children to be free of that. So what are we learning in the divine will? Again, little by little, what's happening? What's happening is, as Jesus says, being bathed in this light. What's happening is we are letting go of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and even sin. We're letting go of everything that is opposed to the holy humanity of Christ. The more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, the sooner the kingdom is going to be in us on earth, this dust on earth, as it is in heaven. Remember, man, that thou art dust. We are a speck, not even a speck. We are so tiny compared to the universe. And yet he says, I want my little ones to live in this light, this life, this love of God. I want my little ones to be so graceful, so striking, so beautiful that I myself, Jesus says, will feel enraptured at seeing my children. Why? They're my reflection of me, Jesus says. So he says very, very clearly, this is so rare. This bath of light, it's like a preparation to be able to cross the thresholds and tear the veil that hides our divine being to humanity. So the interesting thing is that God is bringing about a new beginning that he needs us to understand. The tearing of this veil is what happened when Jesus died on the cross. The veil in the temple was torn in two. What it was, God freed us from the slavery of the devil. And for the last 2,000 years, we were free to worship God without fear. And now this veil that hides God is going to be torn. And that is to live one with God, fused with God. So the three promises to Abraham, when we read the Canticle of Zechariah every morning, freed from the enemy. When Jesus died on the cross, we were freed from the enemy. The second, we were free to worship God without fear. When we receive Holy Eucharist, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, of God. None of us are terrified. As a matter of fact, most people, after a while, they don't even think about receiving the Eucharist. And then finally, to share in divinity, to become holy and righteous in God's sight. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. How can we become holy and righteous? Because it says, well, what we are now is children of God. What we will become, we do not know, but what we do know is we will become like him when we see him as he is. So again, what does he say? This bath of light that we're all going through, being washed in the light, we'll be able to cross the thresholds and tear the veil that hides God. It's like Jesus said, the human senses were made for God. We're to see God. We're to hear God. We're to smell God, taste God, touch God. Our senses are going to be divinized, if you want to say. They're going to be like Jesus's, like Mary's, like Adam's before the fall. This is what they breathed into Louisa. So he says very, very clearly, and more so since it is our divine interest that a soul who lives in our divine will be like us and do not a thing that would be unworthy of our majesty thrice holy. So here he says the interest of God is to make man like God, image and likeness of God. We don't become gods. But Jesus reigns in us to the extent that this is what he says. Our interest is that the soul who lives in our divine will be like us, triune God. And not a thing, not one thing would be unworthy that the soul would do of our majesty, thrice holy. This life that our God wants us to possess, It's not full yet. It's not here completely yet. It's given, it's off. He's offering this to us. It's like when the angel said to the Blessed Mother, you'll be the mother of God. She became the mother of God, but then it took 9 months for the birth to take place. So he says this, therefore think, you have to understand this, that it is a bath of light that my divine will gives you every time you dispose yourself to do your acts in this interminable light, so that you may be, that you, Jesus says, you be attentive to receive it. So he says, it's going to take time every time. The more that you do this, the more that you begin to possess this. And Jesus says, I'm waiting for the souls who love the divine will more than anything that I could, so that I can give it to the world. So what the Lord is doing with us, he's saying, you have to learn this. You have to study this. You have to put this into practice. When you look at the pictures of Louisa, the few pictures that are there, she's focused on the Book of Heaven. She's reading the Book of Heaven. She's studying the Book of Heaven. She's focused on this Book of Heaven. Jesus said, again, there are many, many books out there, but there's only one book that can transform a soul. And he says, that's the Book of Heaven. How can this book transform the soul and others not transform the soul? Jesus says, because he is the word that is spoken to Louisa, that she dictated to Louisa. So Louisa put down on paper so that as we read these words, Jesus is speaking to us, and we can begin to hear God, not with our ears, but with our heart, our mind, our soul, as we read, like these two paragraphs that we just read. A year from now, as you continue to read, you read this passage again. It's brand new, and what you understood here is now expanded to understand here. It's brand new. You go, I read this. I mean, how many times have we said, I've read this 10 times, but it makes sense right now. What's happening? I do believe that God is explaining it to us, personally explaining it to us. There's no time or space with God. Time can stop. I mean, we've been in church in front of the Blessed Sacrament and an hour is like a minute. It's time just disappears. When you're with God, and especially as we're reading, Jesus is speaking to us and he's leading us. He's guiding us. He's teaching us. And he says, these are the divine colors that I'm filling you with. You're no more black and white. He says, you're going to be a rainbow of colors, striking, beautiful. And God himself, looking at this rainbow of light, these divine colors, are enraptured by this soul. He says, of such rare beauty. And that's, he wants to do this with us. What does he say to Louisa? He says, my children are going to become my divine masterpieces for God, not for us. He's going to delight. He's going to be enraptured with his children. What God is doing with this gift of gifts, what sanctification is all about, this gift of gifts, this third fiat, what God is doing is what the saints longed for, the saints wanted, the saints prayed for and begged. They mortified themselves. They suffered terribly, martyrdoms. Jesus says, now is the time that I'm going to give it to humanity. And if you have the Book of Heaven, Jesus says, I myself have given you the book because I have plans and you're in my plans. And he says, read what I'm giving to you. And it doesn't matter if you bought the book off or somebody gave it to you. Jesus says, I planned this from the beginning of time, that you would have this book, that you would read it, you would study it, you would put it into practice. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. And so the evil one wants us to do the secondary stuff. He'd rather have us focus on saintly, good and holy things, devotional things, because then you're not focusing on this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. You're not entering into this divine light, this divine life, this divine love of God. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be bathed in this light. I want you to be animated by this light. I want to see this light, this rainbow of divine colors within you, because I want to be enraptured by looking at a reflection of me, image and likeness. See, that's what's coming upon the earth. We are so fortunate to be given the book of heaven. How glorious is this? So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that we be all divinely healed and the kingdom established on earth that is in heaven. We pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.